end up with a little bit of information, a little bit of fun, and maybe some things you just didn't know. And we have our guest today from the League of Women Voters. We have Connie Lavoie, and also from the Women's Network, we have Mary O'Toole. And everyone knows these ladies. They've heard you on the radio before. They've seen you about. But we've got a lot going on. And first of all, Connie, when you and I first met, we were talking about a significant milestone for the League of Women Voters.
Yes. The 100th anniversary of women's suffrage in the United States. Mm-hmm. So in August of 1920, the 19th Amendment was ratified. After a very, very long, hard struggle.
And it was a very long, hard struggle, too. And there was a lot of confusion in the day. We can't even think of that. We can't wrap our heads around how that could have been such a big deal. But mm-hmm. at that time, it was. It was a very big deal.
Yes. There was opposition.
Yeah, there was opposition. And we read some of that stuff the last time, and some of it was comical, but then some of it, if you put it in its place in its context, mm-hmm. You might have a come away with, oh, well, maybe I kind of understand that particular point of view. But it's interesting to study it from all angles, too. We also have Mary O'Toole, and Mary, welcome.
Thank you.
You're going to be doing some book work here.
Yes, I am on next Tuesday, mm-hmm. the 15th. I'm going to review this book, The Woman's Hour.
The Woman's Hour.
Which has more information than you could possibly absorb, but I'll do my best to help people out.
It's a great book by Elaine Weiss, if I'm
not
mistaken.
It is. It's an incredible book. She's a very good writer, and her research has been tremendous. She did mostly newspapers, but also archives everywhere, and put this thing together. I don't know how she did it.
So this is coming from more of a historical perspective.
Yes, yes. It's not a history of the entire movement, which started in the 19th century, but it mentions all those events that took place, but it concentrates on that last couple of weeks in Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee was going to be the 36th and last state needed to ratify the amendment, mm-hmm. and you cannot believe the emotions that it stirred up. Oh.
I can bet. You know, in we think of this as, well, you know, the guys were saying, women don't need a place in politics, you know, stay out of our business. And the other was the chivalrous, I guess, aspect of it, which I wasn't aware. Let's just keep the ladies away from this. It's just going to bother them. It's just going to get them upset. They don't need to be exposed to all of this nastiness. You know, they're gentle creatures. They're our mothers. They're our wives. They're our daughters.
Yeah.
Let's protect them.
Yes.
And I understand that was a part of it.
Well, the women, a lot of women bought into that. They didn't want women getting their hands dirty in the mm-hmm. Arena of politics. Mm-hmm. One man said she has dug up some wonderful quotes for this. And one man said, excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse. One man said, I'd rather see my daughter in a coffin than at the polls.
Oh, that's a little harsh.
And I was surprised that so many women's groups were formed up to lobby against it. Women, most of the women didn't want it. They didn't want women in politics. They didn't want to destroy the image of Southern, particularly Southern mm-hmm. womanhood. They just had a million reasons why they didn't want it. It also went into states' rights. They didn't want the federal government telling them what to do, that sort of thing. The women were very vocal about it all. And that surprised me, how many women were opposed to something that would be good for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got centuries of conditioning, I guess.
Oh, yeah, sure. The woman was in secondary mm-hmm. position. And this is coming right out of the 19th century mm-hmm. when there was this philosophy of the angel in the house. The woman was the central figure and the moral center of the home. Mm-hmm. And if the husband went astray, it was her fault.
Really?
She didn't keep him on the straight and narrow.
Really?
Yeah, so that all comes into it, too, because we're not very far from the 19th century, obviously.
Well.
But anyway, I learned a lot.
I bet. And we're going to be sharing this too. Tell us about this special event that we're having on next Tuesday.
On Tuesday? Well, the Friends of the Library, the Bartlesville Public Library, always have a spring series of book reviews. Mm-hmm. But this year, we're having a little mini book review series. And the first one is Mary O'Teal reviewing The Woman's Hour. Mm-hmm. It's at the library. It's open to the public and free. And it's just from noon to one. So if somebody wants to dash in during their lunch hour, they can do that. They can even bring their lunch. We have refreshments. And we have a little following of people who come regularly. But we also love to have new people coming in. And really, this is kind of the kickoff event for a year of celebrations, mm-hmm. For women's suffrage, 100th anniversary, mm-hmm. Because we will be having more events. The big one will take place in March, and Mary O'Toole will be again doing a presentation about the book and about women's suffrage history at the community center. But we're also going to have some additional entertainment that night, it's in the afternoon. Everybody's going to be hearing more about that because it's my job to spread the word about it. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming in March. And then later in the fall, we're going to have some educational programs for local high schools with an historic reenactment. So it's really kind of looking at the whole year we want to celebrate, not just one or two events, because we think it's that important.
It is. It is. And when you talked about bringing the high school students, there's a part of me that just wants to see the look on their face when you tell them what this is about and what took place and the what?
Yeah.
They're not going to believe it.
It's never covered in any history class that they might have had.
It might be touched on,
but not in depth at all. Because I remember even when I was in school back in the last century, back in the 1960s and 1970s, it was touched on for like a day or maybe a day and a half, and then they went on.
Well, honestly, to be fair, I don't remember much from my high school history classes. Maybe just a few things stand out. There's so much to cover. So that's another reason why we want to highlight this and just kind of take a minute to remember. Mm-hmm. But in talking about why there was so much opposition, I don't think there's ever been a significant movement, civil rights or you can name any other movements, where there hasn't been a struggle and there haven't been people pushing against it. It's change. And change can be frightening. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the unknown. And a lot of times we're resistant to change. So I don't think anything significant has ever come easily.
I would tend to agree. And reading the book, no doubt it's going to examine and also amplify the trouble with change.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yes, the women didn't want, they were still living in the 19th century. I don't mean just the women, but there were men mostly were opposed to it.
Their mindset was 19th century?
That's my opinion. Yeah. I think it was. Women were supposed to just look beautiful and and stay at home and do their work. They weren't supposed to be out in public. And these women were, oh my heavens, they were tough and strong. They marched, they carried posters, votes for women, and all this and that. One woman, a number of them went to jail. They were arrested doing their public protests. And one went to jail because she burned an effigy of President Woodrow Wilson in front of the White House. And she went to jail for starting a fire in public. But they were out there doing things. There was one group that just wanted to be ladylike and protest and petition and have people sign petitions and that sort of thing. But then there was another fiery group, and they wanted to make noise.
And they used
noticed.
Real fire.
And they used they burned Woodrow Wilson and effigy. What a reason to go to jail. I don't know. But then they talk about the jail experience. That must have been horrendous. Horrendous.
Wow, going to jail for your First Amendment
right? That's
right.
Yeah. They just tromped all over those. They didn't care about those. And they put them in this old jail that had been decommissioned for men.
Ugh.
So it was full of vermin, and it was horrible. And they force-fed them, put their head back, shoved the tube down their throat, or down their nose, force-fed them. They didn't want anybody to die on their watch.
Sure.
But they nearly killed them force-feeding. Anyway, there are millions of facts like that in the book, so much that you could hardly absorb it all.
Well, this is going to be, again, next Tuesday during the lunch hour, and it's going to be at the library. So I want everybody to put that in your day runner there. So if you got some time to, like you said, dash out, or if you've got the day free, put this in for your lunch period here and get yourself a little bit of an insight on what it was like from there to get to where we are today.
That's right.
And if
you will learn a lot if you come to this.
And if you don't learn the lessons of history, you might just repeat them, and that'd be awful. That would just be awful.
That would be awful.
What a shame. That would be.
Well, in this case in particular, but cases all over, it seems like sometimes we just don't pay attention to some of the things that we've already been through and done.
No, unfortunately, Americans, history is not their number one favorite subject.
No.
And it should be. It should be studied more than it is and absorbed more than it is. So you maybe don't repeat the same mistakes, but that doesn't happen.
I think that that has something to do with the way it had been taught in the past, memorizing dates and event. To me, history is about people living in a different time, and people are always fascinating to me. But that's just the way I look at it. But I realize that, you know, some people just like, oh, history, and they kind of immediately shut down.
I think you're right. They've been turned off somewhere in school. I don't want to blame the teachers, but just the whole system. You have to know the dates of this, that, and the other, and
it's not very interesting for children. The dates are fine, but tell me about the people. What were they like? What were they thinking? And, you know, what was in their minds? What's the context of their time period? And then you might get a little bit more of a clearer picture.
And that's going to be a big focus especially of the event in March. Mm-hmm. We're going to have real personalities there because we're going to have women portraying some of the suffragists. That'll be part of the program.
I like your title, Books Sandwiched In.
This series has been going on
for a long time. Tulsa Library had it before we did, and I'll give credit to this woman who's in my book club, which I'm going to today, Betty Hardin. She went to Book Sandwiched In in Tulsa, and we should do that. And she spoke to me. I had just moved here, hadn't been here long, and got a speaker from the University of Tulsa, and he did the first review, and it's been going on. And that was 1978.
Oh, my.
And it's been going on since then. Sometimes we used to have spring and fall reviews. Now we just have usually spring reviews, but
we're going to start back with the fall reviews because I think that people enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know. Yeah, we have our core group, people who come to everyone, doesn't matter the subject.
That's true. We have that. And then we have people who are just particularly interested in that particular book. And sometimes they've heard about it and they want to learn more about it. And sometimes they've already read it and they're just eager to come and hear what someone else thinks about it and to ask questions and to discuss it. That particularly happened with one that I'm thinking about, The Boys in the Boat. That was a very popular book. And a lot of the Q&A was people saying, what did you think about this? Or, you know, and they're, you know, if you've read a book and you just really liked it, you just want to talk to someone about it.
Want to share it, yeah.
Yes, share it.
Well, that's what, you know, books are for, you know, sharing. We got to, you know, a whole wealth of ideas, a whole wealth of creativity that goes into putting ink to paper and a whole lot of work. And when you read it, you're just blown away by the fact that somebody could, A, do it, and B, do it well.
Well, that's your reaction to this book. How did she do this? And she's a good writer, too.
And I'd like to know how many years it took, because it had to have taken years.
Oh, it had to.
Yeah. So maybe we'll find out. Maybe we should ask her.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be happy to tell you for a fee.
I'd love to get her to do a radio interview.
Oh,
I can't remember where she's at, but it's not from around here.
No, I forget where she is also.
But anyway, we're so delighted to have Mary doing this review and doing the presentation in March, because she's, first of all, she has a following. with books sandwiched in of people who will come and listen to whatever she wants to say. And also she's very, she loves the book and she's passionate about it. And that is the key to, one of the big keys to a good book reviewer is they're excited about the book they're going to be talking about.
Well, that's great. You can share your passion, share your excitement.
Well, I'm also a pretty good editor. I could take a 500-page book and boil it down into a half-hour talk.
Well, there you go. I like that.
So people don't think, oh, God, she's going to go on forever. No, I don't ever do that.
And I think that's another strength of it, that it's noon. It's concise. Start right at noon, and we are through before 1, so people don't feel like they can get away when they need to get away.
Wow, that's wonderful. So that's Tuesday at noon at the library, and it's called the
Book
Sandwiched In. There we go.
And the book is The Woman's Hour.
The Woman's Hour, and that is by Elaine Weiss, and it's being presented by the League of Women Voters and also the Women's Network. And Mary and Connie, I want to thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Getting out of the rain, for crying out loud.
We were happy to do that.
We'll be fine. I think it's eased up now.
All righty. Well, thanks again for being on Community Connection here on K1.
Thank you, Tom. I want to thank the sponsors of Community Connection because it's such a valuable, valuable asset for all the nonprofits.
We are brought to you by the fine folks at Tallgrass Motors and also Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. And they've been with us for a good long time, and I don't see it going away. Thank you very much again, ladies.
Thank you, Tom.